evening. And in particular, of course, I love visiting Steadfast Baptist Church. One, because of the fact that every time I come, you guys are always in a new building. So I get to, just, there's always something new going on, you know. It's just, I'm curious to know where you guys are going to be the next time I come. So that's one. Two, don't feel bad if you came for the pizza, because that's why I came too. So I'm just trying to get over this sermon, just preach as fast as I can, because I'm looking forward to that pizza. And so I'm looking forward to be here. But the third reason is actually the most important one, and it's because youth conferences or youth rallies, they actually have a special place in my heart, because that's where I actually got saved. So I got saved at an Independent Fundamental Baptist youth conference when I was 21 years old. I was invited to a youth conference at a Baptist church, and I came, and the preacher preached a gospel message, and of course he made other applications, and you know, I got saved. A soul winner came to me, showed me from the Bible how to be saved. And I'm very thankful for that, man. I'm also thankful for the person who invited me to the youth conference. And so, and I've attended youth conferences thereafter for about 10 years or so. And I'll be honest with you, I made some pretty important decisions at youth conferences, even as a young man, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, and on, just from the preaching of God's word. It changed my life. And I'm very thankful for hard preaching from Fundamental Baptists that preached some great sermons. So I know the importance of a conference like this. And I hope that the young people today, the children, do the best they can to listen. And of course, this can be applicable to everyone in this building. The sermon that I'm going to preach tonight, it's very much applicable. But just in case the kids get a little bored with my sermon tonight, I got something that I'm going to be using to keep everyone awake. Now, the parents are not going to be happy about this, guys. Just let you know this, okay? And I don't know what their take on it. I didn't ask for permission, because they're not my boss, but they're your boss. So I'm going to be tossing out a lot of candy tonight. I got to get rid of both of these bags before the end of the sermon, because I can't take this home tonight, because I'm on keto, so I can't have this stuff. And I need to put temptation away from me, but I got a lot of candy here, and I'm going to make application to the sermon. I'm going to use this to make an application to the sermon tonight. And so, but you need to pay attention, because if not, if you're just wandering, you're going to get hit with some Skittles in your eyes or something like that. And then you really won't forget the sermon. You'll be like, I remember that sermon. That's where Pastor Mia hit me hard with that one truth, okay? And so thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for the invitation. Of course, thank you, Pastor Shelley and Mrs. Shelley, for the invitation and for your faithfulness, for your example, and for just being a great church. Of course, today we're at the park, and we're just having a good old time at the park, and someone let their dog off the leash at the park. I don't know if you guys heard about that. It was just barking all over the place, and we're just looking for its owner and just couldn't find it, so we had to call the police, come take it away and everything, but it was fine after that. All right, look at Galatians chapter number 6, if you would. Galatians chapter number 6. I think this is mine here. Let me open this up. Galatians 6 and verse number 7 reads here, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And the title of my sermon this evening is, "What will your harvest be?" What will your harvest be? Or another title can simply be, "The Law of Sowing and Reaping." Now tonight, I don't have a bag of seeds to throw, so we're just going to pretend that these are seeds, okay? And I'm going to sow a lot of seeds tonight to make application of what I'm talking about. And so, but I want to talk about Galatians chapter 6 first, okay? Now here in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is basically saying, hey, don't mess around. God isn't mocked. You need to understand that whatever he sows, all right, now it's getting too, this is getting Pentecostal here. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap one day, okay? And we're pretending that these are seeds. And he's saying, look, if you sow to your flesh, if you're sowing sinful things, if you're doing things that are not pleasing unto the Lord, you're going to reap some pretty bad things as well. If you're sowing that which is pleasing unto God, if you're sowing that which is godly, you're sowing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, guess what? you're going to reap that which is right in the eyes of the Lord as well. You're going to reap life. You're going to reap blessing. This is what the Bible's talking about here. And tonight, I want to go over a progression. I want to go over some steps. And I need you guys to pay attention here. I'm going to go over some steps of how you can be successful or how you can be a complete failure and even, you know, just displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to go over that in just a bit. Go to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to read to you from James chapter 1. In verse 13, it says this. You're going to Genesis chapter 3. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived," the Bible says, "it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So what is the Bible saying here? The Bible is telling us that when a man is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust, he's enticed by that piece of candy, right? He's enticed by that chocolate, he's enticed by that Twix, he's enticed by that particular thing, and when lust hath conceived, it ends up bringing forth sin, right? And sin, of course, is the transgression of the law. And unfortunately, you know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable, right? But it tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season, and you might have fun just eating all the candy and having a great time and getting involved in sin, but the Bible says when it is finished, it bringeth forth obesity. No, actually, it says it bringeth forth death, right? There's actually a consequence to sin. So you can't think to yourself, well, nothing is going to happen if I just sow this sinful thing, this sinful action, this sinful whatever it may be, you know, because once it's finished, the Bible tells us that it brings forth death. Now let's look at an example of this in Genesis chapter 3. Look at Genesis chapter 3, if you would. We're going to look at Eve and the serpent. Genesis 3 and verse number 1 says here, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I want you to notice Eve's response in verse number 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food." So where did it all start? With what she saw, right? "And that it was pleasant to the eyes." Hey, this looks pretty good. "And a tree desired to make one wise." What happened? "She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And what was the result of that? Well, that's why we're here today, right? Because we need salvation. Because of the fact that essentially Adam and Eve damned all of mankind to hell based upon an action that they committed. You know, that little seed that they sowed of sin ended up reaping damnation and hell for everyone in this world. Pretty bad, right? Go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, if you would. Joshua chapter 7. I'm going to teach you the law of sowing and reaping. You can't just expect to sow to the flesh or do something bad or partake of some sinful act and not expect to receive some sort of consequence, death, some sort of action or something, a consequence that's not only not pleasing unto the Lord, but to yourself as well. Look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 19. Let me give you a bit of a backstory of what's taking place here. The children of Israel have gone into the promised land and they're about to conquer Jericho, and God specifically tells them, hey, don't take of the accursed thing. And he's referring to the spoils, the gold, any clothing that they see, anything that's pleasing in their eyes. God says, all right, when you take it over, don't touch it. Don't take it. It is the accursed thing. So they obey the Lord in conquering Jericho, and there's a guy by the name of Achan. Achan disobeys God. And he actually takes the accursed thing. And, you know, some say he looked left, he looked right, but he forgot to look up, right? And he takes the accursed thing and he hides it under his tent. He takes that which God tells him not to do. And he pays a big price for that. He pays a big consequence because of it. Look at verse 19 of Joshua chapter 7. It says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now, what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Look at verse 21. When I saw, there we go again with the eyes, right? Among the spoils, a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, you say, well, what did they reap, Pastor Mejia? What did Achan reap if he took the Babylonish garment, he took the gold, he took all the spoils, and he hid them? What happened to him thereafter? Well, look at verse 24. It says here, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Hey, do you think Achan ever would have thought that just by taking a little garment, taking a little bit of gold, taking a little bit of spoil and hiding it under his tent would have resulted of him with him and his family being killed at the very end? You know, they were stoned to death because he chose to disobey the Lord. He was stoned to death because he sowed a seed that anything was a big deal, but then he reaped a big consequence and it cost him his life. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to be referencing these particular stories throughout the sermon. But look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. In verse number 1 here, it says, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came unto him and lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, you know what one of the saddest things about this whole thing, the situation with David, is that the child ends up suffering the consequences of David's actions. The child ends up dying. You know, David is sowing a seed of sinfulness, of pleasure. And what happened? He reaped death, not only to the child that was born, but even a curse that came upon his household amongst his sons. You see, he sowed a seed, but then he reaped a lot more than that, right? We have here the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm going to ask you kids to do something real quick. I'm going to have some volunteers come up in just a bit. Now, when I throw these seeds of candy, I don't want you eating them in the service, all right? I hear a lot of chewing going on right now, all right? And so when you get the candy, like this, just kidding, all right, just testing you. I want you to get it and put it in your pocket, and then you got to give it to your parents, and you do whatever you want with it, all right? My hands are clean from this. Let's talk about a couple things. I need a volunteer. Come on up. What's your name?
Parker.
What is it?
Parker.
Parker, come over here, Parker. So the first point I want to give you, come stand right over here. Let's talk about the seed. You sow a seed, you know what happens when you sow a seed? You reap a thought. Let's talk about this particular seed here, okay? Now, you're in 2 Samuel. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter number 4. We're talking about sowing a seed and reaping a consequence, okay? Now, Parker, because you're going to be, by the way, you're going to be up here the entire sermon. You good with that? Okay, well, before you do this, come here. I'm going to let you just fill up your pockets with candy as much as you can. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, man. We're waiting for you. We're just all... This is live right now. This is on YouTube. They're watching us right now. Fill them up, both pockets. All the way up, man. All the way up. Come on. Everyone's watching you. All of YouTube. The other pocket, too. Get that one. Pick that one up. Pick that one up. All right. You look weird now. All right, cool. All right. That's your payment for having to be up here the entire time, all right? So here's a smartie. All right. Hey, guys, when you sow a seed, you're going to reap a thought. So what does that mean? You sow a seed, you reap a thought. Well, think about this. You know, Eve, when she didn't die automatically. Have a seed. Just calm down. I don't know if this is probably a bad idea, actually, now that I think about it. I don't know. You know, when Eve, what happened? She saw the tree. And what happened when she saw the tree? She had a thought. Hey, this is pleasant to the eyes, right? Achan, when he saw the Babylonian garment, when he saw the shekels of gold, when he saw the shekels of silver, what did it do? It produced the thought that made him covet that Babylonian garment. That made him covet that shekel, the shekels of silver and the shekels of gold. When David saw Bathsheba, it created a thought. And look, you need to take this very serious, that you need to be careful. Listen to this. What seeds you're sowing in your life. You need to be careful. Listen to this. What you're watching. You need to be careful to what you're listening to. You need to be careful with the seeds that you're sowing in your life. Because the seeds that are being sown, hey, guess what? It's going to reap a thought. And let me say this. Once you opened up your eyes, listen to this. Once you opened up your ears, once you opened up yourself to a particular temptation, it's going to produce a thought. You sow a seed, you reap a thought. Okay? That's what happened to Eve. That's what happened to Achan. That's what happened to David. Eve saw the tree, saw that it was pleasant. She desired it. Achan saw the Babylonian garment. He coveted. David saw Bathsheba. He desired and lusted after her, but he never would have thought that it would cost them the consequence that came about when they sowed that seed. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what the Bible's telling us here? You better be careful what seeds you're sowing. You better protect your heart with all diligence. You better make sure that you're just not careless with what you're looking at. And let me just say this. I'm preaching to you guys tonight, but you know who I'm really preaching at? Your parents. Okay? Because parents, you need to be careful with what your kids are watching. And you better make sure you're putting restrictions on what they're watching, on what they're listening to, on what kind of friends that they have. Why? Because seeds are always being sown everywhere. Yeah. And you're like, well, I go to Steadfast Baptist Church, and I'm King James only, and I already know all the right doctrines. Yeah, but what about the seeds, though? Are you looking at what kind of seeds you're throwing? What kind of seeds your children are getting in their mind? What kind of seeds are being sown through YouTube, through the music, through the movies, through the entertainment? What kind of seeds are being cast into the brain and the soul of your child? Because you know what? That's going to reap a thought. And you know what? You can control what kind of seeds are being cast into your child, but you cannot control the thought that it produces within him. You cannot control what kind of thought it produces in the heart of your daughter and the heart of your son because you can't see it. Just like when you sow a seed into the ground. You can't really see what's taking place underground. You can't really see the operation under the ground. You just know that the seed was sown and you could have kept it from being sown. You better be careful what seeds are being sown in the hearts of your children. Because you cannot prevent that seed from producing a thought, okay? You say, what's the problem with having a thought? Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. Don't worry, I'm not going to sow seeds while you guys are looking for Bible verses. I already got one lawsuit. I don't want another one, amen? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, listen to this, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. And yes, this has to do with judgment upon Israel and the fact that God brought judgment, but the principle still applies, young people, that what goes into your eye affects what goes on in your heart. You know, if you're always watching the cartoons with the rebellious princess, you're going to be a rebellious princess who talks back to her mom. If you're always watching the cartoon with rebellious kids and they're always mouthing off to their parents, you're going to be that boy too. You're going to be and you're going to produce the thoughts that are sown by the seed, that are produced by the seed. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 15. It says, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast down into the draught? That's why we're not worried about what kind of candy your kids are having. Now, if you are a health freak, I'm sorry. Just make this night the exception. But there's worse things than what I'm going to give your kids tonight, okay? Why? Look what it says in verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. What is the Bible telling us? It's simply saying we need to protect our heart. Children, you need to protect your heart. You need to make sure that you protect your field of your heart from the bad seeds of this world. And don't take it as a joke. Don't think to yourself, well, I'm just 5 years old. I'm just 6 years old. That's when it starts. In order for a tree to grow up and have fruit, it takes years. And you know what? When you look at a tree and it's producing fruit and it's really big and it's really tall, that seed was sown years ago. That didn't happen overnight. That happened years ago. And you know what? You're getting seeds sown at you right now. And my hope and my prayer is that you're getting good seeds, amen? You say, what's going to guarantee me, Pastor, that I get good seeds? You know, you stay in church as you grow up, and you know what? You say, well, I don't really have a choice. You know, my mom and dad, they bring me to church, and I have to sit here and I have to listen to the preaching. Well, you take in as many seeds as you possibly can. Because you know what? There's so many kids out there. Listen to this. So many kids out there who would love to be in your position. Or there's so many kids that are already grown up. They already messed up their lives, and they look at kids like you and say, I wish I would have grown up in church like these kids right here. I wish that when I was a kid, I had good seeds tossed to me upon the field of my heart. I wish that I had the preaching of God's word when I was 6 years old. I wish that I had the Bible and Bible drills and all these things that that your pastor has for you. I wish I had those things. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 21, and I'm thankful for the soul winner that came to me, and I've worked very hard over the last couple of years, 15 years, to kind of, you know, reap the blessings of a second-generation Christian, kind of what Pastor Jimenez was talking about, but man, I think I would have really liked it to be where you guys are at right now. I would have been way ahead of the game. What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life today? Hey, does your parents give you a little too much freedom? You know if they do or not. You know, the Bible tells us, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. You, as an 8-year-old, you as a 7-year-old, you as a 6-year-old, need to make the decision. You know what? These are my eyes. God gave me these eyes, and I have the responsibility, and I'm not going to look at something wicked. If I see a billboard while my parents are driving down the street, I'm not going to let my eyes wander towards that billboard. I'm going to say, I will not set any wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. I'm going to turn away from that because I don't want that bad seed in my heart. Because who knows what that bad seed will do when it is sown. You sow a seed, you will reap a thought. And here's the thing. Look at these seeds here. Watch out. I'm left-handed. All right, we got to get the ones in the back. Hoo-ah! Here we go. Oh, yeah, I smacked someone for sure on that one. I heard someone, I'm sorry. I'll let you get me afterwards. All right. Well, too strong there. I didn't know I was that strong. All right, here we go. Here we go. There we go. Hey, these are fun seeds, right? Hey, these are great seeds, right? My candy's not good enough for you? No, I'm just kidding. You can have it. Here. Here. You got better candy? He's giving me a bigger smart. Thank you. You're sowing good seeds for the future. You said, what's a thought that I can reap? He's taking over the service. I appreciate that. Thanks. Anything else? You good? Yeah. All right. He's still looking to see if there's any. You said, what kind of thought can come in my heart? What kind of thought can come in my mind, Pastor Mejia, if I sow a seed? Well, you know, if you as a child, if you as an 8-year-old, as a 10-year-old, as a 13-year-old, you know, you get away with certain things that maybe your parents don't know about. You know what's a thought that you can reap? My parents will never know. Hey, I got away with it this time. My parents will never know. You know, that's a bad thought. You know, you sowed this seed of watching something you weren't supposed to watch. You said something you weren't supposed to say. You're around someone you weren't supposed to be around. You listened to something you weren't supposed to listen to, and your parents never caught you. And you know what the thought is that you can have? You know what the thought is that you can reap? Oh, I can get away with it again. Oh, my parents don't know. And you know what? That might be true, but you know, God knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Go to Psalm 94, if you would. Psalm 94. You sow a seed, you will reap a thought. You sow a seed of sinfulness, you will reap a thought. You sow a seed, you will reap covetousness. You sow a seed, you will reap lust. You sow a seed, you will reap. Hey, you know what? Maybe I can steal this. Maybe I can get away with this particular sin. Maybe I can do this particular thing. You start having these thoughts. Look at Psalm 94, verse 7. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Now, this is a pretty extreme example. But you know, sometimes Christians can somewhat think like this. Or when they get away with certain sins, yeah, maybe their parents don't know, their authorities don't know, but just know this, God knows everything. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what you think. He knows what you're doing. He knows it all. You sow a seed, you can reap a thought. He says in verse number 9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, if you would. Proverbs chapter 15. But you know what? Let me just say this, is that this applies obviously to that which is sinful, but it applies to that which is good as well. You know what you're doing right now? You're getting a bunch of seeds by me preaching. You know what you're doing when you're singing the hymns and you're singing the songs? You're sowing good seeds. You're developing a good thought life, right? By thinking upon the Lord and thinking about the Bible and thinking about doctrine and thinking about the Lord and thinking about Jesus Christ and salvation and church and thinking about these things. This is the right type of seed that you want in your life. Okay? Look at Proverbs 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Look at verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? You know what the Bible's telling us here? God, listen to this. God can see hell. He can see it. Now, you and I, we can't see hell. We can imagine it. But you know, God can actually go through the earth's crust, all the way to the core, and he can see hell. He can see the people that are in hell today. And the Bible's telling us, if God can just pierce through the world and pierce through the earth and see every single soul that's in the core of the earth, how much more do you think he can see your heart? How much more do you think he can pierce through and see every thought that you think throughout the day, every seed that you sow, and every thought that that seed produces? You sow a seed, you will reap a thought. I need another volunteer here. Reed, come on up. Come on, man. Come on. Just push everyone out of the way. I'm just kidding. Come on up. All right. You got pockets?
Yes, I do.
All right. Fill it up, man. Fill it up. Because you're going to be up here for a while.
Okay.
We'll wait. YouTube's watching. We're live, right? We live? Yeah, they're watching. Come on. Keep going, man. Keep going. Fill it up. Don't be nervous. Get the Snickers. Yep. There's a lot of Skittles there, too, if you want some. That's good. All right, that's too much, man. Whoa. All right, you look goofy, but that's good. Okay. All right, hold this up. So, as I mentioned, you sow a seed, you reap a thought, okay? Now, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You see, once you allow yourself to entertain that thought, you will eventually act upon it. See, it never just stops here. It's not like, well, I saw something that I shouldn't have seen. I did something I shouldn't have done. I listened to something I shouldn't have listened to, and it just stops there. No, that produces, move up, guys. That produces a thought. And then you start thinking about that. You start coveting it. You start desiring it. You start entertaining it. And that thought will eventually produce an action. Now, here's where things get really complicated, okay? Because now you've opened a door that you can no longer close. Once you get to this point and you sow this thought, you keep sowing that thought, you sow that seed of thinking, hey, I can get away with theft. I can get away with stealing. I sow this seed. I can get away with that sin. Sorry. I can get away with, you know, that thought or this type of music or that type of movie or this type of entertainment. I can get away with it because mom and dad don't see me. Mom and dad don't care. Mom and dad don't really say anything about me, you know, doing these things. And you just keep thinking these thoughts and thinking these thoughts. Hey, the Lord doesn't see me. The Lord doesn't care. The Lord doth not see, I'm not paying for my sin. You know, obviously God doesn't really care what's going on. You keep sowing and you sowing and you're sowing in your mind. But guess what, folks? Guess what? It eventually produced, that was a rhetorical question. These kids' conferences are something else, man. That thought will eventually produce an action. You think about it so much that you're eventually going to do something about it. He said, no, that's not going to happen. Didn't it happen to Eve? She saw. She desired. What else does it say? She took. What did Achan do? He saw the Babylonian garment. He coveted after. And what did he do? He took it. What did David do? He saw Bathsheba. He desired her. He inquired of her. And he took her. Why? Because a seed, when a seed is sowing, it reaps a thought, and when a thought is sown, it reaps an action. Now, let me say this, is that obviously this is not good, but you're still kind of safe here. You're safe here. You can still kind of go back. You can still get your thoughts right. You can still confess it to your parents. At this point, you know, if you're at this point, you should go to your parents tonight and say, you know, mom and dad, I've been doing something I've been thinking about something that I shouldn't have been thinking about. And I'm tempted to do X, Y, and Z, and I need your help. Don't think that that's embarrassing for you, or don't think your parents are going to laugh at you or mock you. You know, they're there to help you. They love you. They want to know about those things. Why? So that they can help you overcome those thoughts and kind of reverse the process here. Because you're still kind of safe right here, but hold on a second. If you choose not to, and you keep sowing that seed, ooh, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. You keep sowing that seed there. You're sowing it and you're sowing it. It's eventually going to reap an action. Give me another volunteer. Come on up, buddy. You gonna stand right there? Wait, wait, first, dip into the candy. As much as you can fit in your pockets. I don't know whose parents these, you know, these kids belong to, but sorry. Come on. Oh, you got jeans. You messed up, man. See, he got the sweats. Those stretch. Come on, keep going. There you go. Oh, you're making it happen. You're gonna be walking funny for the rest of the night. Okay, all right, the next pocket. Man. There you go. That's my phone. Put my phone back. Just kidding. Not everything up here is free, man. All right, I think you're good. All right, come over here. You're gonna stand right there. You sow a seed, you reap a thought. You sow a thought, you will reap an action. You can't think that you're just gonna keep thinking this way and nothing's gonna happen. Well, you know, if I just keep thinking about stealing, I'm not really gonna do it. I just like thinking about it. I just like thinking maybe I can get away with it. Eventually, you're gonna do it. Well, you know, I just keep thinking about, you know, whatever sin, and I don't think nothing's gonna happen to me because it's all up here. But the reason it's up here is because it's making its way here. And you're gonna reap an action. Now listen, guys, you're all right, man? You okay?
My brother is pointing me out, my little brother.
All right, hold your thoughts. Hold your thoughts. Stop sowing those funny thoughts, all right? Or else I'm gonna, thou mayest no more be a steward. I'm gonna take all your candy away from you, right? And we believe in replacement theology, so we will replace you, all right, up here. So if you keep thinking that, you're gonna end up reaping in action. And this is the sinful part, okay? This is where it's like, well, you know, I'm thinking about just telling my mom no. I'm thinking about just disrespecting my mom or disrespecting my dad, or I'm just thinking about, I want to say this to my parents, or I'm going to do this. Well, eventually you're going to do it, and the actions is going to result in a really bad consequence. Comes with an action. Here's the sad thing is that once you get to this point, guys, listen to this. Once you get to this point, you can never take it out of that point. Once you've already done the action, you can never go back to this point here. You see, once you're here, you can still kind of correct it and kind of reverse the process here because it's still in the mind. And the Bible tells us that we can renew our minds, amen? But once you've already gone from here to here and now you're here, it's really hard to ever come back to here and fix that. Why? Because you've already opened that door. You've already opened the door of temptation. You've already done that which is not pleasing unto the Lord. You've already disobeyed your mom. You've already disobeyed dad. You've already disobeyed God. You've already done that action. And it's already in your brain and in your heart and in your soul. You know, once you disobey mom and dad once and talk back to them once, might be easier to do it again and again and again. Once you steal once, it's easier to do it again and again and again. And you're saying, well, I don't go to stores and steal, but, you know, maybe you steal things from mom and dad. Maybe you steal things from your brothers and sisters that's still stealing. Yep. Or how about this? You know, you lie to mom and dad. And then mom and dad don't find out about it. You know what? It's easier for you to lie again the next time. Because you've already opened that door. You lied to mom and dad. You told them a fib. You told them something that was not true. You were dishonest to your parents. And you know what? It's going to be easier for you to do it again and again and again. Because once you've sown that thought, you will reap an action. And that door has already been opened. Okay? You know, Eve, she saw the tree. It was pleasant to her eyes. She desired it. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat as well. Same thing with Achan. He took it, he hid it. Same thing with David. He did the same exact thing. The thought became an action. And let me just say this. Again, this, you say, well, how do I prevent that? Sow good seeds in your life. Hey, you know what? Memorize some scripture, kids. Memorize the Bible. Why? So your mind can be filled with the Bible. And you know what? If your mind is filled with the Bible, it's going to reap godly actions. It's going to reap godly things. It's going to reap obedience. It's going to reap blessings. It's going to reap you being a godly young man, young lady for the Lord. You're going to be happy. The Bible tells us, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's where we want to be. Now, you say, well, Pastor Mejia, what if I'm already here, though, and I want to do right? What if I'm here and I've already messed up? I lied, I stole, I saw something I shouldn't have seen, I listened to something, I was just completely disobedient. I'm right here. What do I do? Well, luckily, there's something that you can do, okay? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's what you do. You come clean about it. You go to mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, I stole this, and I just want to be honest with you. Mom, Dad, I saw something that I shouldn't have seen, and I want to confess it to you. You're like, yeah, but what if, like, they whoop me because of it? Well, you know, it's getting a whooping here is a lot better than what you're going to get later on, what I'm going to show you. It's a lot better. But you know what? I've learned that when you confess to your parents and you're just honest with them, they show you a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. They do. So you have to get it right here. And don't keep feeding that thought, and don't keep sowing that action either. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 11, referring to repentance here. It says, for behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Now let me share something with you guys, and I need you to pay attention. The first time you do the action, the sinful action, more often than not, you feel really bad about it. And sometimes you're even scared that maybe mom and dad might catch you, or someone's going to get you, or someone's going to find out, and you're really scared about it. And you should be, because it's true. Someone might find out about it. You might get in trouble. That happens the first time. But do you know what happens is you keep sowing this thought. Stand over here. You keep sowing this thought, and then what happens with the thought? You reap another action, and you keep doing it again. Well, the second, third, fourth, fifth time that you do it, it's not as hard as the first time. And now, the second time, it doesn't bother you anymore. Now, lying to mom and lying to dad doesn't bother you anymore. Now, stealing from mom, stealing from dad doesn't bother you anymore. Now, doing things that are displeasing unto the Lord doesn't really bother you anymore. You say, well, then isn't that like good? Because then I'm not really bothered by it. No, because it's going to lead to another action, which we're going to look at in just a bit. At this point, you should just repent and get it right with your parents. Get it right with God by getting it right with your parents. Just say, Mom, here's the $5 I took. Here's the whatever I did. This is what I did. I messed up. You know, you say, well, when should I do that? Do it after the service. Why not? And look, in a crowd this size, there's someone under the under my voice that's listening to this, and you know this is true. You know that you're here. You know you've done wrong. Just go get it right with your parents right away. Because you're carrying that burden with you. It's bothering you. You're scared. You know, it's better to just come clean to your pastor, come clean to mom, come clean to dad, come clean to someone and say, I messed up. And I don't want to keep going. I've been sowing this action, and I don't want to keep doing it anymore. I need another volunteer. Come on up, buddy. Now, can you behave yourself?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
All right, grab some candy. Make it fast. Come on. Oh, man, hey, if that's what you're happy with, that's good. This guy's a content man. You can't even tell he has candy. Oh, yeah, habit. So you sow an action, guess what? You reap a habit. You see, you steal once, whatever, although it's still sinful. But you know what? If you keep stealing, now you become a full-blown thief. Now it doesn't bother you anymore. It becomes a habit. This becomes your life. This is what you're characterized by. You understand? Then you become that which your parents didn't want you to become, or that which God doesn't want you to become. You start reaping a habit. The more you do an action, the easier it becomes to do it. And as I mentioned, you initially feel bad about it, but then you begin to excuse it, and it doesn't bother you as much. Go to Jeremiah chapter 13, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 13. Now look, again, this could be also for that which is good. Yep. You know, if you're sowing the seed of, if you keep hearing from the pulpit, you keep hearing from your parents, read the Bible, read God's word, walk with God, read the word of God, because it's going to bless your life. You're going to be blessed. God's going to favor you. You know, you're going to have these thoughts. You know, God is going to be pleased with me when I read the Bible. I'm going to be blessed of God. God's hand is going to be upon me. I'm going to live a really long time if I, you know, obey my parents. You're going to have these thoughts. Stealing is wicked. Lying is wicked. You start having these thoughts, it's going to produce an action of honesty. It's going to produce an action of honesty and integrity. And you know what? That's going to become a habit. You're going to be a person of honesty. You know what's going to happen? You're going to grow up and be a great employee and make a lot of money. Be a successful business person. God's hand is going to be upon you because you have the habit of being a Christian. You have a habit of reading God's word. You don't have to like struggle with reading the Bible. It's just something that you do. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you do whatever, and you get dressed, and you open up the Bible, and you read it, and you pray, and now this is your habit. Isn't that great? What if one day you could just wake up? Wouldn't it be great to just wake up one day and just be a Christian and just live out the Christian life and just read the Bible naturally and pray naturally and walk in the Spirit naturally? Well, you know what? That can happen as long as you're here and you sow that there, then it becomes a habit. Hey, that's why, parents, make church a habit. Make it a habit. It shouldn't be like, should I go to church today? Hey, do you want to go to church today? I don't know. I don't really feel like looking at sodomites and, you know, I mean, what do you think? Should we go? There should never be a question, should I go to church? It's like, this is what we do. We go to church. It shouldn't be like on Sunday morning, like barbecue at the park, hang out at home and clean, catch up on laundry, or go to church. It should always just be go to church. Let the laundry suffer. Let the dishes suffer. Let the house, let the physical house come to ruin if you have to. Be in church. Amen. Why? Because church is more important and you're building up a habit that's going to benefit you spiritually in the long run. But the same goes for the bad habits. You know, taking a little bit from your parents, taking something from your parents or your brother and sister now is very small, but then you start growing up and you start taking bigger things. And you know what? Stealing that little thing from mom and dad or stealing that little thing from your siblings or your brother or your sister may, you know, cause you a little bit of spankings here and there. But you know, when you grow up, it's going to require jail. Yep. It's going to require prison. It's going to require someone beating you up because they found out that you took their stuff. It's going to require you going to the hospital. There's so many consequences that come with that habit of stealing. So many consequences that come with lying. Having the habit of lying. So many consequences that come with worldliness, with listening to the wrong music, with watching the wrong things. If that's the habit you've built into your life, there's some grave consequences that come with that. And look, I'm preaching to everyone, but of course I'm preaching to the young people tonight. because you do have your whole life ahead of you. And there's so many, listen to me, kids, listen to me, listen to me. There's so many adults in this room who got saved when they're already here. They already had bad habits. They already had the sinful habits and the sinful past and all these things. And it's so hard for them to just get here and to get here and to get here. It takes years to fix all that. It takes years to clean up their life sometimes. It takes years to fix their family. It takes years to fix their marriage. It takes years to fix that. Whereas you, all you got to do is just follow this for that which is good, and don't follow this for that which is evil. Because you're still way down there. You sow a seed, you reap a thought. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. And that is what characterizes you for the rest of your life. Look at Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. People who are accustomed to do evil are stuck right here. This is all they've ever known. Crimes and criminal activity and violence and all these things that God looks down upon, all these things that God tells us to stay away from. There's people in this world that can't stop doing it because it's a habit of theirs. But you know what? If you're here, you can still change that, especially if you're in this church. You can still reverse that process. You sow an action, you will reap a habit. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I got to get rid of more candy here. And so heads up, everyone. Go to Psalm 119 first, though. Are you there? Good. You're sowing good seeds. All right. Ready? Everyone's up? All right. Cover your faces if you can't catch. No Butterfingers. All right. Cover the babies. Here we go. Talk about sowing here. Sow a seed, you reap a thought. Sow a thought. Talk about covetousness. Hey, you guys are sowing seeds of greed. Sow a thought, reap an action. Who has not gotten like one morsel of candy? Nothing at all. Right here? Come here, buddy. Come here. Come here, man. Here, just take all this. There you go. There you go. There you go. You got it. All right. You can come back for that. He brought back that which he did not steal. You know, he just. All right, here we go. Right here in the back. You sow an action. Who else didn't get? What side of the building? All the way back there? Ooh. All right. Hopefully I don't tear my suit doing this one. All right, here we go. Duck. Here we go. Knock someone out right now. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? Good? You're just picking up the... He's just reaping. He's just gleaning. He's gleaning here. I'm not forbidding him. I'm like Boaz over here. Who else? Right here, right back there. All right, here we go. This is the most painful sermon you're ever going to hear. Get rid of this bag. All right, here we go. I'm just going to throw this whole bag. I'm just kidding. I'm like David over here. All right, let me see. Who did not get any at all yet?
Me.
You guys all, what do you mean me? I've been casting it to you this whole time. All right, here we go. Behind Brother Ben. There you go. Oh, man, I still got more. You see, guys, listen to this. The goal for you as young people, go, I feel bad for you. Here, come here. Come here. There you go. All right. That's the only people I'm doing it for, right? Don't get any ideas, everyone. Listen. The goal for you young people, listen to me. Sit up straight. The goal for you young people is to build up good habits right now in your life. Build good habits of praying and reading your Bible. Build good habits of obeying mom and dad. Build good habits of waking up in the morning and making your bed. Build good habits of when your mom tells you to throw out the trash, you do it immediately. When they say, do this, that you do it right away. These are good habits for you to have. Build good habits of going to sleep on time. Going to sleep when your mom and dad tells you to go to sleep. And not asking for a cup of water and, you know, I'm scared, I need to use the restroom. You know, there's some kids who have those habits, you know what I mean? Looking at my progeny over here. Build good habits of being an obedient son and an obedient daughter. Hey, build good habits that when you're at church, you sing out unto the Lord. Amen. And you're not embarrassed to sing the hymns. Well, I don't know what my friends are going to think of me. Forget what your friends think of you. Build that habit now. Build the habit of learning how to play the piano. Right? Build the habit of learning how to play an instrument to be a blessing in the church. Build the habit of memorizing verses so you can win people to Christ. Build the habit of being respectable towards your elders. You know that when you see an adult, you say, hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
You look them straight in the eyes and you give them a firm handshake and you be respectable. These are good habits to build. Don't take them lightly. And look, throughout the years, you're going to have time to build that habit and build the habit and build the habit, and you're going to be light years ahead of many Christians if you just build those habits. Look at Psalm 119, verse 41. He says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. Listen to this in verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. You know, David's desire was to keep God's word continually forever and ever. Just have the habit of keeping God's word. All right, I need one more volunteer. Come on up, lady, young lady. All right. Oh, wait, do you have pockets?
No.
You have a purse, though, huh?
Yeah.
How smart. Bring it up. You're building good habits already. All right. I'm not going to dump it in there. Just grab like five handfuls. Yeah, grab a couple handfuls. That was pretty smart. She's like Elisha, you know? It's like, borrow not a few. Here we go. Is that it? All right, good. All right. All right, you still got a job to do, okay? You know what happens when, go ahead, set up right over here. So let's start from the beginning. You sow some seeds, you're going to reap a thought. You keep sowing that thought, you're going to reap actions. You keep sowing those actions, you're going to reap a habit. And if you sow that habit, if you're sowing the good habits, you're going to reap life, which is exactly what Galatians 6 talks about. You'll have a good life. Kids, let me say this. There's a lot of miserable people out there in this world. There's a lot of people in this world who hate their life. We ran into one of them earlier today. They hate their life. They hate living. They hate their life. They hate everyone else's life. They hate Pastor Shelley's life. They hate my life. They just hate the world. They hate everything. You know why? Because a seed was sown in the beginning. And you know what? That person's not reaping life. They're reaping death. Amen. And this is where the joke stops. See, it's all fun and games, right? When you're here, it's all fun and games when you're here. It's all fun and games when you're here. Hey, it's all fun and games when you get in the candy here. But what if I told you that all that candy was actually poisonous? What if I told you that one bite of that candy will actually kill you tonight? What if I told, now it's not true. Don't worry. He looks like he's about to break down right now. I'm just as an illustration. But what if I told you that? Then you know what? You wouldn't be jumping up and down to get that candy anymore. If I told you that if you bite that candy that I gave you, it's going to kill you tonight, and I say, who else wants candy? No hands would go up. If you knew death was the result of what happens here in the beginning, no one would want the candy anymore. Because now you know that it produces a thought, that produces an action, that produces a habit that will produce death. That it'll kill you. But what if I told you that that same candy actually produces life, which is not true at all as well, okay? Diabetes, all that stuff, you know? What if I told you that if you bite that candy, you're going to be blessed? Oh, man, I mean, I don't even need to tell you that because you just eat candy anyways. Then, you know, you would want to sow that seed. You would want to sow that thought. You would want to sow that action. You would want to sow that habit so that you can have life. And this is how life works, young people. Take it serious. Because if you don't, this awaits you here. If you sow seeds of theft, stealing, lying, worldliness, sinfulness, you're going to think about those things. You're going to think about them. You're going to sow those thoughts. You're going to sow those thoughts of theft. You're going to sow those thoughts of deceit. You're going to sow those thoughts of dishonesty. You're going to sow those thoughts of worldliness and sinfulness, and it's going to produce an action. Then you're going to do those sinful acts. You're going to commit those sins, and what are you going to do? You're going to reap a habit that's going to be the rest of your life, and it eventually will produce this, death. This is how you need to see life. Every time you disobey your mom and dad, every time you do something that is pleasing to them, just recognize that was a seed you just sown. But every time you obey your mom and dad, every time you do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, guess what? You're producing life. You need to keep this in mind tonight. And it all starts way down there. Go to Deuteronomy 30, if you would. And here's the last verse. You sow a habit, you'll reap death. If you sow a habit, you can reap life. The Bible says in Galatians 6, you're in Deuteronomy, Galatians 6, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here's the last thing that I want to say to you, young people. Here's my last plea, and every single one of you, pay attention. Sit up straight. Look at me right now. Everyone sit up straight. This is God's word that's being preached right now. Sit up straight and look at me right now. I want you, and your parents want you. Your pastor wants you to choose life. We can do everything we can to make sure we sow the right seeds in your life, and we want to do the best we can to help you have the right thoughts and do the right things and live the right life, but it's up to you to choose this. You need to choose life. We can't choose this for you. You have to choose it. Look at me. You have to choose this. We can't choose for you. And you know what? If you choose not to choose this, you're eventually choosing this. But it's your choice. Your parents can't make that choice for you. It's your choice to choose life. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Listen to this. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I hope tonight, listen to this. I'm going to throw some candy. Relax. Right? I hope tonight, I really hope tonight that you young children, I know you're still young and you know, you got a lot of life ahead of you, but I really hope that this sermon hits home to you, and I hope that it gets in your heart, and I hope you think about these things. Because it all starts when you're this age right now. And I really hope you make the decision to choose this and not this. So let me ask you, if I told you this candy would kill you right now, who would want some right now? That boy lives life on the edge. If I told you if you ate this right now, it would kill you. It would take you away from your mom and your dad. You'll never see them again. Who would want to have it? Who would really want to have it if they knew it would kill them? Nobody would. Nobody would. If I told you that this was poison and it's going to kill you tonight if you ate it, there's not a single one of you that would actually want it. But you know what? Luckily it's not. So here you go. You know, what I'm saying this evening is this. Signs up, guys, signs up. I hired you for a job, okay? That's too high. Bring it down a little bit. All right. It starts here and it ends over there. It starts here, but it ends there. I'm sowing the seed right now. I hope you think about what I'm saying tonight. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We're so thankful for these children, the heritage of the Lord. I pray that you'd help us as parents to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to make godly decisions. And I pray that you would help them as young people to give heed unto the warning tonight, to beware of the seeds that they're sowing, knowing full well that it can produce death, but it can also produce life. We love you and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Sorry to... Here, give me the signs. Here. All right, cool. Good job, guys.
Now, Pastor Mejia is brilliant and has armed me. And, you know, I never realized that I could not only win over the hearts of the children, but also pelt every single person that doesn't pay attention to my sermons. And man, is that just a brilliant idea? Because some of you guys need it. So that's the seed that you need. All right, we're going to sing one more song. If you kiddos want to stand up. And we're going to sing, I Will Enter His Gates. I Will Enter His Gates. And then as soon as we're done singing, I'm going to go ahead and give instructions now. We're gonna be dismissed. And we have pizza for everyone. I want the line to enter through that door where Brother Dylan is. Now, we also have drinks that are kind of dispersed abroad. So outside is Coke. So Coke or Cokes, if you would like Cokes. There's, like, I think some Sprites and some sparkling waters here at the end of the line, if you'd like that. And then there's also some drinks in the fridge. There's also water. There's our ice machine and everything like that. We have pizza and we have desserts and everything like that, so just please form a nice line going over here and out, and as you go down the line coming through this door, and then just find somewhere to sit, and basically depending on how much sugar high you want, Cokes are outside. All right, so we'll go ahead and sing our final song for the evening. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Good singing. Let's pray once for the food, all right? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this conference, for this great time of fellowship. Please just bless this food and keep everyone safe as they travel home. And we thank you for all you give us. In Jesus' name we pray.